Well, as we think about this year, we want to start out on a good foot, want to start out right, and one of the best ways to start out right is to start by thinking about our prayer life, our relationship with God. We're going to be studying relationships in our Wednesday night class, starting, well, we might get to the beginning of it Wednesday night, maybe the introduction Wednesday night. We've still got to finish up the last little bit of our last lesson before we get into that. But come and learn about relationships, because we're going to deal with the specific ins and outs of those relationships. And of course, one of those that we'll be dealing with is our relationship with God. But prayer is an important part of that. And we want to look this morning at our perfect example when it comes to anything in life, but certainly in the aspect of prayer. Who could be a better example for us than Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh? Who could teach us any better about how to pray than He could? So let's look at that, and hopefully it'll help us to think about our own prayer life, because sometimes we get in the rut with our prayers, where we say the same thing, the same little phrases. We thank God for the same things. We ask Him for the same things. And it almost gets to the point where we could just say, Dear God, ditto. And He'd know exactly what we had just said the time before. And that's not a good thing. I know I fall into that trap so much of having certain phrases, certain ways of saying things. We say the same thing over and over again. And of course, to some degree, we have to say some of those things again and again. You know, we thank Him for our food every day, and that's good. We need to do that every day and thank Him for that. Our daily bread, even if we're not eating any bread that day, we can still thank Him for our daily bread. But we need to also, you know, we constantly have special things that are constant needs. You know, if we ask Him for forgiveness of sin and things. But sometimes, of course, we get into the generic, well, God, forgive me for my sin. And we need to be a little more specific with God than that. And we might not be that specific with other people in the public prayer, but when we're talking about our personal private prayer, we need to get down to the nuts and bolts of life with God. We need to talk to Him about the things that we would talk to our dearest friend about. We need to talk to Him about the things that we would confide in no one else, that we wouldn't even talk to our best friend about. We need to think about that as we think about prayer. John 3 in verses 21, Luke 3 in verses 21 and 22 that was read to us just a few moments ago mentions that Jesus, when He was baptized, He prayed. And as He prayed, some amazing things happened. And we can't necessarily expect these amazing things to happen where the Holy Spirit is going to descend on us and a voice from heaven is going to speak out. But what we can expect is, I think it's interesting the phrase there, as He prayed, the heavens opened. It's been said that prayer is the key that unlocks heaven's power. And that's true. Prayer is our key. It's the way that we open the door to what God can do. Like I said, we may not expect miraculous events like the ones described at Jesus' baptism, but we can expect some amazing things to happen when we pray and when we pray properly. If we're just saying the same old thing and it's just become a ritual and we're not really praying in spirit and in truth, then we can expect that nothing's going to happen. But if we will pray from the heart, in sincerity, in spirit and in truth, we can expect that we're going to have some things happen in our lives. Now, let me look at when Jesus prayed, and we're going to learn from Him. When Jesus prayed, He prayed differently. First of all, He prayed differently. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, I mean, a lot of different things. We've got four things under there, A, B, C, and D. Under A, we see that He He prayed in different places. Getting those two words mixed up, places and prayed. He prayed in different places. You know, sometimes somebody thinks, well, I can't pray unless I'm in my praying place. I've got a special place. That's the only place I can go to pray to God. He won't hear me anywhere else. And that's a naive thought. God can hear us wherever we are. And we see that He prayed in different places. He prayed publicly in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 19, and also in John chapter 11 and verse 31. And interestingly enough, in John 11 and verse 31, He did something that was kind of unique, and we'll get to that down when we get under letter C. But remind me if I forget it when we get down there. But then in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 23, we also see He prayed privately. He prayed alone. So He prayed both publicly and privately. And we need to be able to do those things as well. Next week, we're going to have our prayer night. And I hope that you men will come prepared to lead a prayer. And I hope that you women will come prepared to pray along and pray with us as those prayers are led. You know, if we use that term, lead a prayer, it's a public prayer. Every member of the congregation is to be involved in that prayer, just as every member of the congregation is involved in the song when the song leader leads the song. Sometimes we say, oh, well, someone's up there praying. No, they're leading the prayer, and we need to be echoing that prayer in our mind and in our hearts. But Jesus prayed publicly. He led public prayer. He read public reading in the synagogue. He did those things, and so we can do those things as well. But He also took time in private. And I promise you that the things He said in private when it was just between Him and His Father were very different from the things that He said in public for everyone else to hear. And the same should be true of us. There are certain things that we're going to pray for privately. We're not going to deal with publicly. But then we see He prayed differently in terms of His posture. He used different postures. We read of different stances. He was kneeling. He was laying on the ground. He was standing. You know, there was a big movement probably about 40 years ago or so now that people thought, well, you've got to kneel when you pray. And so there were whole churches that nobody could lead a prayer. Nobody could pray unless they were kneeling on the floor. Well, that's not the example Jesus gave us. Jesus gives us the example that wherever you are, however you are, you can pray. I remember one preacher mentioning this topic, he was in a little debate or discussion with someone that held the position that you had to have the proper position in order to pray. And he said, well, what would happen if you fell down in a well and got stuck on your head? Would you be able to pray? What would happen if you were in a car wreck and you were trapped in that car? And you couldn't get into that kneeling position. See, that's foolish. That's just as foolish as the idea of having only a single place to pray. God can hear us wherever we are, and He can hear us however our body may be positioned. Assuming, of course, that our body's not in a sinful position. When we're in the midst of sin is not the best time to try to talk to our Father in heaven. Because He turns away from sin. He doesn't allow sin in His presence. But then we see that Jesus prayed differently than you and I. John chapter 17, we read that prayer. Oh, look at the prayer He prayed. He prayed differently than we do. But He could pray differently than us. Because He knew some things that we didn't know and that we don't know. And He could say some things that we may not be able to say. He was in a position as the Son of God that even though we are adopted as the sons of God, we're not in the same position as Jesus. He was a unique Son of God. Unlike us, just because we're adopted by God doesn't mean that we're in quite the same position Jesus was in. And that's where we see in John 11 and verse 31. And in some other passages, it talks about the fact that Jesus prays to the Father, and he prays, Father, I know that you've heard me, but I want them to know that you hear me. He actually prayed at times in public for others to hear him. Now, he tells us not to do that. He tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, in the Gospel of Matthew, that we shouldn't pray to be seen and heard of others. But he did that under some unusual circumstances where he was about to perform a tremendous miracle, and he wanted the people to know that God knew he was going to perform this miracle and that it was by the power of God that he was performing that miracle. So he had some unique situations that are different from ours. And so we can't necessarily do and say everything that he did and said in prayer, but we can still learn from him about these things. And the fourth thing that we see here is that he prayed sinlessly. And that's different than anyone else who has ever lived. That's different. He prayed sinlessly. Jesus never had to say, Father, forgive me for anything. Can you imagine what our prayer life would be like? A lot of our prayers is asking for strength during temptation and for forgiveness of sin that we've committed. And what if we didn't have those? Now, he, I'm sure, still asked for prayer for strength. We see that in the garden, that he was praying to the Father to be with him and to glorify him and to help him in that situation. The Hebrew writer says he asked, and the one who could help him heard him. So he heard that prayer as Jesus asked for help. But he prayed sinlessly. 1 Peter 2:22 speaks of his sinlessness. And we, of course, can't pray quite that way, but we can pray in many other ways like Jesus. And we're going to see now some of the ways that he prayed that we can echo. Second thing we see is that when Jesus prayed, he prayed reverently. And he taught his followers to pray reverently. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy, sanctified, set apart. He wanted, let God's name be set apart and holy and honored and holy, hallowed. So he prayed reverently. And we need to pray to God reverently. Now that doesn't mean that we're cold and distant. Sometimes people think, well, if I'm going to be reverent, then it's just going to be stiff and formal. Reverence does not have to be stiff and formal. Sometimes we think of it that way. I think it's interesting that the Bible talks about the relationship between Abraham and Sarah. And we know they had a close relationship. They did all sorts of things together. You read about their stories in Genesis, and you see some of the things they did that were good and some that weren't good. But they always, you know, they communicated with each other about things and everything. But the Bible tells us, when it talks about the relationship between Sarah and Abraham, Paul tells us that Sarah called Abraham Lord, and he told wives to reverence their husbands, just as Sarah, who called Abraham Lord. Does that mean that they had a stiff, formal relationship? No. Husband and wife have the most intimate relationship, or should and can have the most intimate relationship that there is on this earth. And yet, still Paul spoke of there being a reverence there. So we can have reverence for God, and we can pray to Him reverently, and yet we can still have the intimacy. We can still have the closeness. Sometimes we do get distant with God, and that's not a good thing. He wants us, as His children, to be close to Him, to be able to come to Him with everything and anything that may come up in our day-to-day lives. And we might say, well, I don't want to bother God about that. That's not important enough to bring to Him. If it's important in our lives, it's important to Him. He cares. And He wants us to bring it to Him. But then the third thing we see is that when Jesus prayed, He prayed thankfully. He prayed thankfully. He prayed with gratitude. I want you to imagine for just a moment praying a prayer purely of thanksgiving without asking for something. Now, I know on our prayer night, we have a prayer of thanksgiving. That's one of the prayers that we have. And we have the list of all the things that everyone is thankful for. But every time that anyone has ever led that prayer, they sneak in something to ask. Now that's the way we are. Even if we're with a prayer of thanksgiving, and we'll say something like, "Lord, help us to be more thankful." We've asked for something. Now, it's not wrong to ask for things. I don't want us to get that idea. But just try sometimes to pray a prayer where you thank God, and that's all you do, is thank God in that prayer. Read some of the Psalms. You'll find some Psalms that do that. There are some Psalms where it's all praise, or it's all thanksgiving. And that's it. It's not, "And Lord, help me." It's all about, "Thank you, God, for what you've already done for me." And we need to try that sometime. Because it's easy for us to ask for things. It's easy for us to come to God with our needs in comparison to coming to Him with thanksgiving. But we need to try that. Be thankful. Jesus certainly was thankful in His prayer. Now, that doesn't mean He never asked for things. He did. He asked for a lot of things in prayer. For Himself, for others. He asked. There's nothing wrong with asking. God wants us to ask. Jesus taught us, "Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it." He wants us to ask. Now, of course, the "in my name" means we've got to be asking for something proper. We can't ask for something sinful in His name. That doesn't work. But we can ask. But we need to be thankful at times. Sometimes we ask, "Lord, do this for me. Lord, help me with this. Lord, give me this." And then when He gives me that and He helps me with that, I forget to go back and say thank you. You remember the story of the 10 lepers? "Oh, Lord, heal us, heal us, heal us." And then when He healed them, only one of them came back to say thank you. And He said, "Where are the other 9? Sometimes we're the same way. We pray constantly, "Lord, give me this, give me that. Help me with this, help me with that." But we never say thank you when He does. We need to keep track of the things we've asked Him for so that when He answers those prayers, we can say, "Thank you. Thank you for that." Then we see that when Jesus prayed, He prayed deliberately. He prayed on purpose. You know, I ought to pray better. I ought to pray more. I'll do it sometime. Your prayer life is never going to get better by accident. Jesus had an excellent relationship with His Father because He talked to His Father regularly and deliberately. He would leave the rest of the group. He would leave crowds of people who wanted to hear Him teach. I mean, that's a hard... Crowds of people who wanted to honor Him and praise Him, He'd leave all the groups of people to go off by Himself to talk to His Father. Now, some of you may have some things that you do regularly. You may have medication that you have to take at a certain time every day. You may eat your meals at a certain time every day. You may have a job that you could be there at a certain time every day. Why not pray that deliberately? Because when we say, "Well, I'll get around to it," we usually don't. We have to think about praying and plan on praying. Jesus prayed in the morning, Mark 1 and verse 35. He prayed all night in Luke 6 and verse 12. He pray. You realize how deliberately you've got to pray all night? You ever tried that? When I was young, I tried that a few times. I might have made it about 10 or 15 minutes to sleep. You know, it's not easy to pray all night. All night. But that's the kind of... Now, let me ask you this. Did you ever stay up and talk with a friend all night? It's a lot easier, isn't it? Of course, I guess part of the thing about that is the conversation back and forth, the other person talking back to you. You know, maybe if God spoke back, it'd be a little easier to talk to him all night. Because we run out of things to say, don't we? But Jesus prayed all night. Of course, he and his Father had spent all eternity together, so he had plenty to talk about. But we need to think about that. We need to pray deliberately, on purpose, with the intention of talking to God. We need to plan to talk to him. Not just think, well, I'll talk to him if something comes up. There are always things that we need to talk to God about. Then we see, number 5, when Jesus prayed, he prayed unselfishly. Or selflessly. Unselfishly. He didn't put himself first in his prayers. To me, the scene on the cross is the most amazing of those aspects. He prayed, Father, forgive them. Prayed that first. You know, he looked to be concerned about others. He didn't think about himself until toward the end. He thought of others first. Take care of my mother. It's amazing. The things that he did. And that was when he was under tremendous strain and pain and suffering. The mental anguish and the physical agony. And yet he was able to think of others. And most of us, if I've got a hangnail, I can't think about anybody else except my poor little hangnail that hurts. Here's a guy hanging on a cross, dying, and he's thinking about other people first. See, he gave us an example that we should follow. We need to think of others first. We mentioned before, we'll mention it again and again and again, the term joy. How do you have joy? Well, Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. You always put the others ahead of yourself, and it will bring you more joy. One of the things that we find is the more selfish someone is, the more miserable that person is. It's been shown that the people who volunteer the most, who give the most, who even a lot of times have less, are happier than the people who don't give and don't volunteer and don't serve their fellow man, but only serve themselves. Selfish people are never happy. Then we see that when Jesus prayed, he prayed preemptively. And that's part of that purposeful prayer. That's something we need to attack. So many times we wait until after something's already happened and then we go, God, can you help me clean up this mess? If we would pray before we go into the situation. Recall the situation of a man who was known far and wide for his wisdom. And the congregation was having some financial problems, so they called him in. They had the men's business meeting there, and he came in, he sat down, and they said, okay, what do you want to do? And he said, well, the first thing we need to do is we need to pray. And they said, we didn't come here, we won't talk about money. We didn't come here to pray. We came here to talk about financial things. They had missed the point. That was the first step toward helping with the financial thing. Then after that, he suggests, okay, now let's turn to the Bible. Well, we didn't come here for Bible study. We came for you. We want you to help us with our financial problems. They're just really missing the boat. Praying to the Father. Looking for answers in His Word. You know, so many times I think we expect that when we pray to Him, He's going to put a big sign with flashing neon letters. Or maybe we're actually even expecting a voice from heaven to come down and tell us what to do. It doesn't work that way. He's answered the question. We need to study His Word to find the answer. But we need to pray preemptively. Pray before it happens. Not afterwards. Then we see that Jesus, when He prayed humanly. He was a human being and He prayed with human emotions, with human sorrows. He prayed humanly. But we see also that when Jesus prayed, He prayed divinely. That's something we can't do. We can't pray divinely. But we can pray humanly like He did. And we can pray for His divine help and intervention in our lives. That He will work through the situations that we're facing. But He prayed humanly. Hebrews 5 and verse 7, we mentioned that one earlier, that He was prayed to Him, to God, the Father, to Him who heard Him and answered His prayer. That was when He was in the garden suffering. He prayed. But you look at that situation there. He prayed, Father, if it's Your will, let this cup pass from me. He prayed a human prayer. He was suffering. And that's what we see then, number 9, is that when Jesus prayed, He prayed agonizingly. He didn't just rattle off a little quoted prayer. You know, that's one of the things, some of the religious groups, they have a book of prayers. A book of prayers. But if this, here's the prayer you pray under this circumstance. Here's the prayer you pray. What? A book of prayer? You want me to just read a prayer that somebody else wrote down? No. Jesus, when He prayed agonizingly. He really suffered through these situations that He was suffering through and praying these things. He agonized over it. And then finally, number 10, we see that when Jesus prayed, He prayed persistently. Persistently. Matthew 26 and verse 39. You remember that prayer that we were just talking about? He prayed 3 times. He went back and prayed the same thing 3 times. Going back again and again. Sometimes we're not persistent enough in prayer. Jesus taught us that we should. Remember that widow and the judge that wouldn't give her justice? She kept bugging Him until He finally said, "Whew, it's not worth it. I'm going to give this woman what she wants." He said, we need to be that way with God. We need to keep coming back to Him and asking Him again and again for those things. We need to pray the same things over and over again sometimes. You know, we do get in the habit sometimes of praying the same thing over and over again meaninglessly. But if we're praying the same thing over and over again meaningfully, that's okay. Jesus did it. And we can do that too. Sometimes we may not know what we need to pray for as we ought. Aren't we thankful that Romans tells us that the Spirit is there under those times? When we don't know how to put it into words, the Spirit is there as an interpreter to interpret to the Father those things we need. Jesus never had that problem. Jesus could always talk to the Father and get it right out. But sometimes we're going to face things that we just don't know how to handle. We don't know how to put it into words even. But God knows what we're going through. And with the Spirit's intervention and help, we can share that with Him, even if we don't have the words for it. The Bible speaks there in Romans of the groanings that can't be uttered. Those things that we can't even put it into words. But we look at Jesus when He prayed. We can pray more like Jesus than we have. And that needs to be one of our goals for this year. A lot of things that we may need to work on, but in our relationship to God, prayer is one of the most important. How's He going to know who we are if we never talk to Him? There have been a few times where it had been so long since I'd called home that when my mom answered the phone, I said, "Hi," she said, "Who is this?" We don't need to let it be that way with God. Don't let it be so long between our prayer sessions, if you want to call them that, that when God hears us, He says, now who is this? We need to make sure that we keep up a constant conversation with Him, that we regularly call home. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation, I hope that you'll do so. If you're a Christian, but perhaps you haven't had the kind of relationship with God that you should, and you'd like that to change this year, maybe you'd like a better relationship with Him, you can do that. And we'll pray with you and for you that that can be the case. And we'll help encourage you along the way. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you don't have a father to talk to. Boy, what a sad situation. I often wonder how people who are outside of Christ, who aren't Christian, how do they make it through life without someone to call on, someone to talk to, that can actually do something about it? Oh, you may call and gripe with your neighbor or your family members, but what can they do about it? Nothing most of the time. God can actually help. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you may need to become one today. Start this year off right. Believe His Word. Repent of your sins. Confess Him as the Christ. And be buried with Him in baptism to wash your sins away. If you're here and you have a need to respond for any reason, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.